Hello, and welcome to This Week Explained. I am Tiana.
And I'm Kervin.
And today we'll be discussing the big geopolitical events of the week. And there is a lot to get through, so I'm cheersing you through the computer screen, Kervin, with our wine glasses. Clink! Y'all can't see
it. Dink it and sink it.
Yeah. Oh, don't stick. Hey, that's like copyrighted. I wouldn't
say that.
We're not getting any money for this, we promise.
Okay.
So what is on your radar?
Yeah, so I mean, every continent and almost every country decided to wild out. So let's go down the list. This is to include Ukraine. So you guys are included.
Y'all, you guys overstepped some boundaries.
So Russia, Ukraine, obviously. we're going to get to that, but there's I had a journalist hit me up asking about victory, what it would look like in Russia and Ukraine specifically for both of those countries. I will discuss that. But big news from today or from this week: this Brittany Griner was released in a prisoner swap. We're going to get into everything about that. We're going to update China's Taiwan invasion timeline, which our good friend Cole actually sent me some stuff about that and what he's seeing.
Okay, cool.
And then we are also going to talk North Korea versus South Korea, because those tensions are heating up in that area. Then we'll get into the Iran morality police and whether they've been disbanded or if it's just a ploy to get people to stop protesting. There is the Wagner group, who we try to bring up at least once a month because they're doing stuff. But they're expanding in different countries in Africa. We'll get into what that means.
And using prisoners.
And using prisoners.
Villains.
Also, Peru's president was arrested. A lot going on in Peru in about 3 hours. A lot changed in Peru. So we'll get into that. And then Nazis maybe returned to Germany. So we're going to talk about a German right raid. And then this week's History's Mysteries, we will discuss Operation Mincemeat. Well, that's a fun one.
Mincemeat is gross. That's all I have to say. Actual mincemeat.
Well, get ready for this History's Mysteries. You might be grossed out.
Oh, well, don't freaking say that. And then we get there and, I mean, we get to History's Mysteries and then it's something silly.
No,
if it's actually gross.
It is.
Okay.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
So, what is the big news coming out of the war in Ukraine?
All right. So, like we said, we've had a lot of news globally, but it's not just everywhere else in the world. It is also in the ongoing war in Ukraine. Now, Russia started the week with more bombing, more bombs being dropped on critical infrastructure in Ukraine. But then, in a surprising turn of events, Ukraine, and I will say they have not yet claimed responsibility for this, but we've learned through some back channels that they sent drones deep into Russian territory and damaged multiple pieces of military equipment at two separate Russian military bases.
But at least they're not attacking civilian buildings and then saying, oh, we thought, well, I know we could preface it with that. But as of right now, they're just hitting military sites, right? Okay. Well, that must have not gone over too well with the Russians, regardless of where they're striking. They're probably very, very unhappy about this.
Yeah, you got it spot on. It did not go over well. Now, the first thing that happened is Russia sent even more munitions into Ukraine. They destroyed all kinds of infrastructure, and the Ukrainian officials have said that it could take up to 6 months to fix their critical infrastructure.
It's not like we have winter coming or anything.
Exactly. So this is happening at a time where, you know, heating homes, as we know here,
yes,
is of the utmost importance.
Yeah.
Now, to add to the severity of the situation, Russian President Vladimir Putin said this week that the world is at an increased risk of total nuclear war.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just last week, we discussed the war in Ukraine as slowing down. But now things are heating up. No pun intended. Let's continue the Russia-Ukraine talk then. You were asked in the media for your opinion on what victory would look like for either side. Since that answer is behind a paywall, would you like to discuss what you said there?
Yeah, you guys are getting this free, so enjoy.
I don't know if the paper going to be okay with that? Does it matter?
Yeah, they're fine.
I don't know how that stuff works. Anyways.
Oh, no, they're fine. They love it.
Yeah, okay.
But let's talk about what victory for each side starts with. And it starts with the annexed regions. So those are the recently annexed regions of Donetsk and Kherson and those areas. Now, if we were talking in March of this year, like we had been, now victory for Russia would have definitely been the full control of the capital of Kiev and installing their own government. That's what victory would look like. But now, after months of fighting, Ukrainian counterattacks, Russia is going to view retaining those recently annexed regions, like I talked about Donetsk, Kherson, Luhansk, and Zaporizhzhia, as at the very least not a loss. It might not be a win, but it's not a loss.
Lowering that bar.
Yeah. Lowered expectations.
Yeah. wasn't that like a...
It was Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, lowered expectations.
And now we're just getting canceled on YouTube again. I don't think we can use that song.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to like infringe upon anybody's copyrights. Dang. I just have stuff stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Finish.
So now we all know this. Putin from the very beginning claimed that those recently annexed regions were the only reason he decided to carry out his quote special military operation in Ukraine.
Right.
So while not gaining control of all of Ukraine will be a blow to Putin's ego, there's a little difference between we're talking about Putin's ego and what is maybe seen as a victory for Russia. He can still present victory in those annexed regions as a victory for the Russian people.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm just surprised that Putin would be willing to put his ego to the side to try to frame this more as a victory. Or maybe that is more egotistical. I don't know.
When you're falling downstairs pooping your pants, you could put your ego aside, I think.
Was not confirmed.
Putting out misinformation on This Week Explained.
Don't do that. The whole thing is that we're not supposed to be misinforming people.
I do appreciate it.
Dial it back. We don't know if that happened, guys.
Yep.
We cannot confirm or deny, honestly. So
it's most likely not 100% true. But
course.
I'm sure there's a tiny bit of truth in that.
Oy. Okay. Sorry.
Tiny nuggets.
I keep Kurt.
All right. So after that statement, we'll move on and parallel that with what Ukraine would view as victory. That's going to be a full retreat by the Russian military and also Putin conceding those annexed regions we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But also returning Crimea to Ukrainian control would be added bonus.
But he's also, that's getting a little out of hand.
Yeah.
Asking for that.
But right now, I mean, it just shows where we are in the war in Ukraine.
That he feels like he can ask that.
Yeah. So right? Zelensky has leverage to ask for that.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, if we're going to say that the recently annexed regions are a non-starter for Putin, returning Crimea to Ukraine is definitely, I mean, what's more than a non-starter? That's what that would be. Now, the longer the war drags on and the more Russia attacks critical infrastructure, you know, as we get into the winter months, the less leverage Zelensky's going to have in these peace deals.
Yeah.
Should I say Time Magazine Man of the Year, Zelensky.
Oh.
Having peace deals. So I'll give my analysis of the situation on how each country gets to freedom. Now, Ukraine gets to victory, and I said freedom, but I meant victory, under the conditions that I just said, those, you know, I mean, the main victory is getting Russia out of their country. That's the main
obviously
thing. And that is much easier at this moment today, in 2022. That's much easier at this moment than what Russia would need to get to victory. I still believe that Putin misstepped trying to get to Kiev so early into the invasion.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. We should probably put together a blog post with some views from both sides, but we'll address that later, I guess. It's an important topic to discuss. We just have a lot to get into, and we are still talking Russia as this week today, specifically, Brittany Griner was traded for Victor Bout. What is the latest news there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, the U.S. and Russia have exchanged prisoners. One, the jailed WNBA star Brittany Griner. She is a star. She was an MVP of the WNBA.
Yep.
And they exchanged her. Well, they exchanged Victor Bout, who's a notorious arm dealer, for her. And he has been held in an American prison for 12 years. Today, President Joe Biden said that Griner was safe and on a plane home from the United Arab Emirates. To just bring more clarity to this, Russia's foreign minister also confirmed the swap and said it had taken place at the Abu Dhabi airport. And he said that the Russian citizen has been returned to his homeland, which I think is just such a basic statement. I mean, this guy is a hero of the Russian people.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know a lot about Victor Bout, but I do know a lot of our followers aren't too pleased about the swap. And it's not necessarily because Brittany Griner was released. It's more about the fact that this arms dealer was traded for her. And they also left, what's his name? Whalen?
Paul Whalen. Yeah, we'll
Paul
get into
Whalen.
That.
Yeah, okay. They also didn't do anything to secure the release of Paul Whalen. So, I mean,
I'm just going to say, if you want to know more about Victor Bout, there is a movie loosely based on and played by the incredible Nicolas Cage. He plays
Cage plays Victor Bout, really?
Yes, he does.
I did not realize that.
And his brother is played by Jesus himself, a guy that's also played Joker.
Oh, frick. Jared Leto's in it?
Yes. He plays the brother.
I like how you call him Jesus because of his weird little cult that he has going on.
Go look at him. He is.
No. Oh, okay. When we discuss this personally, you are on the fence about the swap. Do you want to get into the problems you have, or maybe you have turned a corner and now believe this is a good idea?
So I'll say that, like, I'm off the fence now, but it's not in the way that, you know, the audience may think. I wanted to give it time just to see if, you know, Paul Whalen was, like, part of the deal on the side. Now we know it's been confirmed that the Biden administration called the Whalen family. They told them that he was not part of the exchange. And I firmly believe that that is a huge missed opportunity. He's a former Marine. He's being held in Russia on charges of espionage. And he's a bigger geopolitical chip for the U.S. than Brittany Griner. I want to be clear that I am happy for Brittany Griner. I'm glad she is back in the U.S. I'm happy for her family. This is a huge relief for all of them. I also don't wish ill on anyone. I will say that Paul Whalen is much more important to both Russia and the U.S. than Brittany Griner ever will be. Now, Russia gets the Merchant of Death back in exchange for a WNBA player. It's not a good look.
Do you want to give a little bit of information on Victor Bout for those new to the show who may not have heard the last time we spoke about him? I don't even remember speaking about him last time, so I don't blame anybody.
Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, it was like a year ago last time we... Well, it wasn't a year ago. It was when Brittany Griner was first originally detained. But we'll do that, and then we'll move on from Russia. But he is a Russian national born in Soviet-ruled, at the time, it was Soviet-ruled Tajikistan. And he began his career in air transport in the early 90s. And as we all know, that was the fall. It was after the fall of the USSR. But according to a 2007 book entitled Merchant of Death, that's where he got his name from. And that was a book by security experts Douglas Farah and Stephen Braun. It appears that Bout built up his business using military planes that were left on the airfields of the collapsing Soviet Empire in the early 1990s. And he used those as a way to move back and forth. Now, in 2010, agents from the DEA posed as potential buyers from the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, also known as FARC. Like we mentioned before, he's the basis for the movie Lord of War. I will say he is not a good person. And he is going to be relied on heavily by the Russian government to gain an advantage in their war in Ukraine.
Well, I know you will be following this closely and you'll give us more information as it comes out. So we will be looking for an update on that early next year. Now let's get to China. Did you say that China is updating their timeline for invading Taiwan?
I did. And this comes from our good friend Cole at Alcon S2. So if you're listening to this podcast, you have to be following Cole on Instagram. He is a thought leader for all things Indo-Pacific. He knows way more than I do. Now, according to him, the Chinese Communist Party has invested considerably into the People's Liberation Army, or the PLA, and their capabilities. But they still suffer from at least four serious vulnerabilities that may hinder military operations past 2027.
Well, that now pushes back the timeline. So can you discuss what the four vulnerabilities are?
Yeah. I am going to say, though, that I'm only going to quickly run through these, but Cold has made his article free at Substack. I'll link it in the show notes so everybody can go over there. If you like that, you subscribe to him. But he posits the four vulnerabilities are, one, a lack of combat experience. Two, the difficulty of amphibious operations. Three, politics and China's one-child policy. And then four, lessons learned from other conflicts, most notably the war in Ukraine. And all of these are slowing the advance of the PLA and extending the timeline for invasion, which actually would be welcome news for all the countries in the Pacific.
Well, that would be good news if North Korea wasn't going wild all year. This week, they once again sent rockets towards South Korea and then claimed their nuclear program is expanding. So what are they thinking these days?
So that last part, that question is actually quite profound. What are they thinking these days? So we just discussed a few seconds ago that China is dealing with quite a few vulnerabilities. Now you put that over North Korea, you can double those vulnerabilities and concerns. And you could probably add a dozen more just because of their economics. But it's not stopping Kim Jong-un. So as you said, North Korea this week fired over 130 artillery rounds towards their rival South Korea. It was basically a tit-for-tat for the things that have been going on since the U.S.-South Korea started live-fire drills within South Korea's border.
And are they continuing to improve that nuclear weapons program?
Not only are they working to improve their arsenal, they are changing the purpose of the weapons.
How so?
So North Korea is now claiming that their weapons will be used for operational missions to repulse hostile forces, aggression, and attack, and to achieve divisive victory in war if, and not just as a deterrent. So it's if they need to deter, but it's not going to be used as a deterrence, if that makes any sense. But this is also why I talk about North Korea being like the wild card in the geopolitical game of today's world. Kim Jong-un, with effective nuclear weapons, will quickly change those DEFCON levels that we talk about with nuclear war. And it actually makes me agree with Vladimir Putin. You never thought you'd hear me say that. But his statement that we are closer to nuclear war than ever before seems true.
Once again, we're talking about nuclear war. Have you become more fearful that a nuclear weapon will be used in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, there's a lot of nuance to that question. Because I can see a scenario where a weapon of that caliber is used, but I'm not as of yet fearful of like a full nuclear war. So if a nuclear weapon is used, it's most likely going to be used for a specific tactical purpose, and it's not just like to wipe out an entire population. With that said, I do believe everyone should be prepared to protect themselves in the off chance Kim, this Kim Jong-un or Xi, you know, president of China, or even Putin chooses to use their arsenal to send a message to the West.
Well, let's quickly move away from the nuclear talk and discuss what could be some good news coming out of Iran, that the government has decided to disband the morality police. If the reports are to be believed, what is the latest with that?
All right. Like you said, Iran has mentioned they're going to disband the morality police. Last week, Iran's Attorney General Mohammad Jafar Montazari announced that the Guidance Patrol, which is colloquially known as the Morality Police because it enforces the Islamic Republic's laws on personal behavior and dress, will be suspended. However, he did quickly add that Iran will continue to monitor public conduct. Now, the good news is that it seems like a clear acknowledgement of the toll that the demonstrations have taken on the regime since September, and that even in Iran, protests can lead to change.
Well, that's good news, if it's true anyways, for the women of Iran. Do you think it will cause real sustained change within Iran?
I mean, it will if the Iranian people protesting right now continue to speak out. So the problem that happens in a lot of these situations, like what we saw in Hong Kong a few years ago, time tends to make people forget. So,
as we're seeing with Germany right now.
Oh, that's an excellent point. How many years now? I'm trying to do the math in my head, but the 1830s 80, to so
80, 90 years?
Not yet, 80, 90 years. And the Nazis are back.
No one
can see this right now, but my hands are up. Like
I wonder if it's Kanye who kind of gave them the okay to say, you know what?
Yeah.
We're anti-Semitic and we're going to just, okay. All right. We're going to talk about that later. Never mind.
Kanye's huge. But he has huge fans in Germany, but I don't know that. I'd have to research that. I do want to say that I hope that we, in our podcast, remember that statement that time makes people forget.
Yeah.
And we continue to call governments out when they treat their people that badly.
Mm-hmm. Don't turn the other cheek. Don't ignore it and be like, this doesn't affect me. It affects the Jews or affects the Iranian women who aren't allowed to show their hair or, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's that one statement from, I believe it was a Catholic priest that said it, that, you know, they came for all these other people, and then they came for the Jews, and then they came for me, and there was no one else to protect me.
Well, we'll get to the Germany thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need to talk about Iran right now.
Let's do that. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we are known for not giving up on a story, so I have no doubt that we will continue to speak out against the atrocities anywhere, honestly. So let's move to Africa now and discuss what is happening with the Russian Wagner Group.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
All right, now, so that's one of those stories that we choose not to give up on.
Ugh.
Because we both feel like the Wagner Group needs to be called out for how brutally violent they are. Case in point, individuals linked to the Wagner Group have set up a shell company in the Central African Republic to secure and sell diamonds in order to fund the Russian war in Ukraine.
Oh, that's so messed up.
Yeah, and this actually comes from you. You sent this to me, that fighters linked to the Wagner Group.
I was trying to pretend like I didn't know that, okay? That I didn't read that article and didn't send it to you. So, come on.
We're sorry about that.
Andrew calling out
TNS tactics. But yeah, I hadn't seen it. And so that report was talking about how the Wagner Group is forcing that country's miners and collectors to turn over all their gems, not just diamonds, or sell them exclusively to the shell company, Diamvil. The Wagner Group fighters have, like we've talked about before, they've previously been accused of involvement in arms activities in the Central African Republic, and now they are exploiting the country's gold and diamond resources.
I really just don't understand how these people sleep at night at all. Exploiting a country that already is, you know, fiscally depleted and just people, you know, people can't find food or work or education. And these people, I was going to call them a not nice name, but I pulled it back. And they come in and they're forcing these miners who, you know, work crazy hours for almost no pay to give up the goods. That ticks me off so much. And it's to fund the war in Russia. What Okay.
Now, you know, and I'll be really honest right now before we continue on to this. Because you said something very profound. You said, how can these people sleep at night? And you personally know the trouble I've had sleeping in stuff that I did.
Yeah.
In the past.
It definitely affected you to your core to the point where you weren't even the same person whenever.
Right.
That was a tough period in our family life. You know, it affected everybody. It affected you. And then you didn't want to tell us what was going on. So we hadn't. Well, I mean, obviously, you're not going to tell our children what's going on, but you wouldn't even tell me what was going on. And you didn't even tell me until you got this job that was removed from what you used to do, you know? So, okay, maybe there are some people with a conscience working there and they have no choice, but at the same time, get out of there like Kervin did. Go somewhere else. But I doubt it. I doubt it. They're probably happy to be funding their country's war. I guess that is one douchey way to fund the war. So what is the narrative from the Wagner Group? I want to know how they freaking justify this.
Well, I do, and I'm sure the McManus family appreciates you not using colorful language in that explanation of the Wagner Group.
Oh, I thought about it. I almost said, you know what? It's time for Wendy to close her ears because I'm about to say some really sparkly things.
I like that term, sparkly.
Sparkly.
Well, now she's not going to close her ears. Let's get
going. That's true. That's true.
So, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who's a Russian tycoon that backs the Wagner Group.
I bet he does. A Russian tycoon? That doesn't sound like war funding. That sounds like he's lining his pocket. Sorry.
Well, it gets even better.
No, it's not better. It's not better.
Yeah, well, what's another word? It's similar. So he claims that Diamvil is actually owned by Emmanuel Macron.
Shut up.
Of 60 Minutes. And he owns it via a front man that is racketeering and is conducted by special NATO units called SDFA.
First of all, I need to process who he claims that owns this. And if that's the case, hold on, I'm trying to calm down. I didn't know this stuff, but what is the SDFA?
Oh, this is awesome. It is steal diamonds from Africa.
Is that real? Is that really? Yep. What, are you serious?
Yep.
Well, all I have to say about that is it sounds like a joke, and he should be ashamed of himself, honestly. And this should be out in the press, because that is, if you're hurting someone or, you know, exploiting, taking advantage of, you know, economical issues in a country. Okay, I'm very mad.
Disadvantaged country.
Very disadvantaged country that, okay, oh, I'm trying to like compose myself. It's not going very well, but I'm trying to compose myself. Steal diamonds for Africa. That's literally what he came up with. Not even subtle. Not even a little bit.
He made an acronym out of it.
Okay. So every nation on this planet keeps trying to take advantage of the resources in Africa.
100%. And I think you're onto something there because it's not just this guy in Russia.
I know, baby.
Let's call him out. The U.S. does it.
Yeah.
The U.K.
Yep.
France.
Yes.
All of you guys.
Yep.
You're not innocent in this. And if I'm not calling you out, I'll tell you somebody who will call you out. It's going to be Tiana. And you do not want that. Trust me.
You're like, oh, I'm so scared of this mom. I'm so scared of her. She's so scary.
I'll tell you this. Moms control this world.
Well, some moms need to get their sons in line. Okay?
That's true. If I was Putin's mom.
I don't want to bring up what that actress was saying whenever Putin.
Yeah.
I wish I was your mother. I wish I could hold you. And I don't wish I could hold you and hug you. I wish I could beat your ass. That's what I wish I could do.
Right. All right, Wendy, close your
ears. Sorry, Wendy. Clean language. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
I just want to tell Marianne that I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I'll let Josh know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That just ticked me off.
All right. So, like I was talking about all the other countries, but also let's not forget that the Wagner Group is trying to deflect on all this so they can keep funding Putin's war in Ukraine.
So do you think it might be a lie that it's that guy...
That it's steal diamonds from Africa.
Emmanuel Macron. Do you think they're just trying to deflect? But is there anything to back it up? Where's the proof? Did they show any proof that it's him who owns the company, the shell company?
No one has except for Bellingcat. Bellingcat is an open source intelligence agency that is exclusively trying to push back against disinformation from Russia. They're the ones that you are going to want to go to their website.
Well, they need to put that in there too.
Yep. That'll go in the show notes.
Yeah, you need to put that. You need to put Cole's Substack in there. Just reminding you.
Definitely.
Just reminding you.
That's why I love you.
Well, we will continue to call all of these jerk faces out. So let's move to Peru, where one of the wildest stories of the week has come out. Talk a little bit about what happened there and why it's important.
Yeah, so we had probably a month's worth, maybe even a year's worth of news in a single day.
Yeah, it was a crazy day.
Within 3 hours, President Pedro Castillo went from decreeing the dissolution of Peru's Congress to being replaced by his vice president, who is the first female president of Peru now.
I think the Congress wasn't too happy that they were being dissolved. Do you think that may have played into it? What's going on there?
Well, and he also got arrested. But let me answer your question.
Okay.
Because I do think that we always need to look at this through a historical lens. So from the start, Castillo's presidency seemed destined to be short-lived. When he took office, he had very low level of support. He doesn't have a political party. We know in America you can't even do anything without that.
Correct.
He had a hard time putting together a government cabinet. The ones that he put together changed constantly. And I
understand how he came to power if he had no support, no political party, and no ability to put together a cabinet. That doesn't make sense to me at all.
Because the people actually spoke and they didn't have an entire government system telling them not to vote for a certain person because he wasn't a political candidate.
So they did vote him into power. It's just that the government wasn't backing him, like the actual government that was in place.
Exactly. And he is, I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly, the fourth president within the year.
Also, but if he is wrong, please let us know if there's anyone from Peru. Let us know.
Please.
Because we, if you, sure. I am asking these questions off the cuff, And so sometimes he has to kind of, he has to think of it immediately and, you know, search his memory, and nobody's memory is perfect. So please let us know if we're wrong.
I do thank you, Tiana, because I will say, if you are in Peru right now and you have an opinion on this, we would love to hear it.
Absolutely.
And you will hear it on the podcast if you send it over.
Yeah, we'd love it. And you would get proper credit as well.
Yes.
We can't do this without a lot of you guys, because you guys send us information and questions all the time. This is going off on a tangent.
And I also respect the voices of the people in the various places more so than the media presenting it out.
Yeah. You got to talk to the people. We're the ones being friggin' dictated over or ruled over or, you know. You know what I'm trying to say.
Let's take it back.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
No, it's not that. It's fine.
Okay, so, like I was saying, over the last few years, I think there have been something like 4 presidents installed in Peru.
Okay.
But in just over 1 year as president, Castillo survived 2 congressional votes to oust him.
Uh-huh.
Fronted 6 criminal investigations. Those investigations were into accusations ranging from influence peddling, which is just trying to gain influence within the country.
Which isn't that what every politician does?
And this next one, too, that he's being accused of.
Plagiarism?
Plagiarism. You know it. We have our own president that's been accused of plagiarism.
Well, I think to some degree, everyone has a little bit. Everyone's running out of things.
Well, wasn't that a Selena Gomez song?
Oh my God! We cannot quote Selena Gomez. We've already twice brought up somebody else's copyright. Yeah, abort, abort,
abort. let's keep moving on.
Okay.
Selena, if you want to come on, please. You have an open invitation. But
what is? I mean, she's great and all, but what is she going to contribute? Another civilian lens to look through.
Yeah.
The rich civilian lens, because we aren't rich.
Some good advertisements.
Oh, yeah.
Now, like I said, all that, he and I survived those votes to oust him. Castillo says he's not had a single minute of truce since taking office. And he actually blames it on Peru's political elite wanting him gone.
Well, that sounds an awful lot like what America discussed for 4 years from 2016 to 2020.
Very good parallel there.
Donald Trump had a political party.
Well, yes, he was backed by a political party.
And his political party was reality show star. That's what it was. Because I wouldn't say
RSS.
I don't think he really aligned with... Well, I mean, I guess all of our parties are becoming really polarized. They're dividing farther and farther apart. But yeah, I would say that his political party is
the
reality show party.
But a lot of that does parallel Donald Trump.
Okay, well, yeah, explain.
Now, the twist of it is that Castillo is a leftist party member. And he also comes from humble beginnings. Now, you can't say that about Trump on either side.
Yeah, he got money from his daddy.
Yeah. But I will say that your point...
Just kidding. I mean, let's be honest. We're from humble beginnings as well, you know?
We're all friends here.
Yeah, we're all friends here from humble beginnings.
We're having a good time.
Dude!
YouTube is going to hate this one.
We're sorry, YouTube.
We'll say all that, but we're not sorry.
No, we're not.
Like Trump, though, he was an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And the government did not like that he was an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted him out. Now, my opinion is that he kind of misstepped by trying to dissolve the entire government.
Yeah, that is kind of wild that he thought he could just come in there and just abolish everything.
And then try to install a state of emergency.
Yeah, which would give him...
Well, yeah, that's going to give him unfettered power within the Peruvian government.
That sounds like something Donald Trump would have done if he could have, for sure. For sure. He wanted unfettered power, for sure.
Yep.
Okay, so...
At me if we're wrong.
Nobody needs to at you. You're not going to get any ass from that because...
Oh.
No. So, why is this so important on a global scale?
So I think it's important, and maybe people will disagree with me, but I think it's important because I think South America is going to play an important role in a global conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So the leaders of South American governments like Peru, Colombia, Brazil, Venezuela, all those, they're going to decide how their countries align during these global skirmishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, there's been a shift in South America to align with China. Now, that alignment with China is going to mean aligning with Russia, Iran, and North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But this recent action in Peru could show us that those governments are willing to change course. Now, as we tend to say on this podcast, only time will tell.
Maybe they'll also start housing the Nazis in Germany again.
Let's see if we can talk about that story.
Okay, I'm going to, all right. I'm covering my face with my sweatshirt. I know it's a little soon to be saying that, but things are kind of scary right now. So let's
definitely
get into this repeat of history before we talk about history's mysteries. Can you explain what is going on in Germany right now? And also, why haven't you consulted Uncle Dave yet? Because
that's a good question.
You know, we need to do that. Okay. So anyways.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
answer the first. Dave, sorry.
Dave, reach out. Let's talk. See what you're seeing out there.
I will message him and ask him.
No, I know you will.
I will. I will message him and be like, hey, what's going on over there, buddy?
So I will tell you what we know in the news, and then maybe next week, if Dave gives us some more information on the ground,
he will.
We'll have something different. But this week, German police conducted nationwide in Germany, raid and arrested 25 people suspected of belonging to a far-right terrorist cell. Investigators believe that some of them were plotting to overthrow the government.
And you mentioned to me this week that this is very reminiscent of what happened in Germany in the 1930s. So can you elaborate on that for our listeners?
Yeah. So I'll say, according to what the prosecutors have talked about, they said that the group was inspired by the deep state conspiracy theories of Germany's Reichsbürger, which translates to citizens of the Reich.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not recognize modern-day Germany as a legitimate state.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, no, not a lot of people do. Now, some of them are devoted to the German Empire under monarchy.
Okay.
Some are adherents of Nazi ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And others believe either of those things, but they also believe that Germany is under military occupation right now. Now, this plot envisioned that a former member of the German royal family, they've identified him as Heinrich the 13th, that he is the leader of the state of Germany, while Rudiger Charles Ernest Demo Aldi of Saxony would be the head of the military arm with the aim of building a new German army.
Well, the fact that Nazi propaganda is returning to society does not sit well with hopefully any human being with a conscience. During each global war of the early 1900s, Germany and Russia were enemies. So will this still be the case?
I will say that it's going to take a full history lesson to be truly informational on this. But as of right now, both possible German leaders are actually looking for support from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a change from World War One and Two.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I'm saying that
I'm speaking at you.
So yeah, I started spacing out and thinking you were just talking to me. I'm like, yeah, I know. I know that part. I have I've read a lot
idiot.
Of books.
I know that.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to.
It's a little peek into the conversations we have together.
It's also a peek inside of what happens when I space out.
So
jeez.
What I'm going to say is that, yes, history repeats itself on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't truly align with what happened in the past.
Yeah.
So I'll say this. If I find accounts that are doing a good job of breaking down this event historically, I'm going to post it for everyone. It's probably not going to be in the show notes,
Yeah. On our Instagram page. Yeah.
Do that. And if you are an account that does this kind of stuff, reach out to us so I can post these kind of things for you.
Yeah.
I also want to say we're not glossing over this story. It's incredibly frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
The fact that Nazis are back in multiple countries.
Our grandfathers fought against this.
Personally, yes. Both, yeah.
Yeah, your grandfather was in Pearl Harbor. I mean, my grandfather did a lot with planes and stuff. Yeah, he was, it was mainly my uncle who flew a lot of bombing missions over Europe. My grandpa actually got detained. I think he was detained by the FBI. I mean, I'm saying I think, so don't quote me on that, but he wanted to go. He did so well correcting an issue with a plane that they actually kept him stateside, which was something that bothered him. He wanted to go overseas, but he couldn't. He was so good at building the plane. I think he did go overseas like a couple times, but he wasn't allowed on the front line or anything.
Do you know anyone that knows that story in your family? Because I'd love to put that as a part of history's mysteries.
I need to ask my uncle. Need to reach out to my uncle and see, because, you know, obviously I can't ask anyone else. I might be able to ask. Okay, never mind. This is a conversation for another day.
Yeah, so I just did that because I've heard the story a couple times.
Yeah, he got in trouble. Well, not in trouble. They thought that he was a spy because he shouldn't have known how to work the plane. But really, he was just really smart. And I'm like, Grandpa, why didn't you give me some of that intelligence? I just wanted to do math. I just wanted to be able to do math.
As someone who's been detained in their own country for being a spy.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun 48.
For you.
Yeah, that was a fun 48 hours. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. A year of not being able to travel.
A year? It was like the first 6 or 7 years of our marriage. I couldn't go anywhere because the TSA was always searching my stuff and breaking things and dumping our baby's formula all over the inside, opening my shampoo, dumping that inside. It happened so many times, every time. It was so rude. I mean, I get trying to be safe. I get it. But, I mean, I was just a little lady trying to go to Louisiana to visit my family with babies. Okay.
On the next History's Mysteries.
On the next History's Mysteries, let's discuss why Tiana's luggage was messed up every time she flew the first 7 years of her marriage.
It'll be like Maury Povich. We're like, oh, and joining us today is the TSA agent that did it.
I would like to have a word with that person. All the people. Yep. All the persons. All right. I'm sorry. That went off on a tangent again. Yeah. So the world is changing daily. And there is so much to still talk about, but what is your advice for people listening?
So I'm going to say that, a lot of people, and even myself, you get disillusioned with looking at the news and reading the news. But I want to say continue following the news. And if you just get your news from us, continue to follow, but validate that what we're saying is correct and not just because... Yeah.
Also correct us if you find things that diverge from what we're saying.
100%. We just want to learn. Yep. You are exactly right. I appreciate that, Tiana.
Yeah.
We all read tons of articles, tons of news articles. Mm-hmm. We're bombarded with this, with that. And a lot of the times we only click on the headlines that will align with our worldview or it validates a bias of ours, but they may not be rooted in fact. I'm not saying they're all not rooted in fact, but some may not be. If you're reading something, you know, we talked about the Putin story earlier about falling down the stairs and that kind of stuff. If it seems too good to be true, or it seems...
That's the story you use to say, if it seems too good to be true, Putin falling down the stairs and pooping himself.
Don't we want that story to be true as Americans? Come on.
Well, I'm sure the Ukrainians wish that's true, too.
Yeah. So if it does seem too good to be true, and I guess that's just lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
do the research and validate it. Or honestly, you can send it to me and I'm not going to tell you how to think, but I might be able to put out some different opinions on the topic, and then you can formulate an opinion yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, that's if I can find them. If I can't, if I do find that what you're reading is actual fact, I will send that to you.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy doing that. I enjoy doing the analysis piece. That's why we do this podcast. We're not making any money. I hope you guys a lucrative gig here.
Yeah.
It's because I think it's important. I think we both think this is.
And we've become disillusioned with the actual news that's always pushing some sort of agenda one way or the other. And like we've said a billion times before, we do voice our own opinions, but we do try to caveat it with something else, you know?
With it being our opinion.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, at the very least, that, but.
Yeah. But if you have those things, send it our way. We'll get back in touch.
Yeah, we'd like to hear about it. Anybody from any of these countries, because guess what? In case you guys forgot, we have listeners from 44 countries. So I know some of them are the countries that we discuss. So please talk to us. We'd love to hear it.
Definitely.
Anyways, let's get to history's mysteries that is either disgusting or not disgusting by what Kervin said at the beginning.
It is. So since we just got finished talking about Nazis in Germany again, let's go with another global war story.
Mm, okay.
Ready for that?
Sounds good. Hit me with it.
All right. So this week we're going to discuss Operation Mincemeat, which was later described by his...
Sorry, mincemeat grosses me out. I've had it a few times and it's just weird. There's like beef to it, tossed in some liquored up nut. Basically what mincemeat is. It's beef suet and chopped up nuts. I know this is going off in a tangent.
No, I like the liquored up nuts.
The liquored up nuts.
Now, historian Michael Howard described it as... perhaps the most successful single deception operation of the entire war.
I think the inflatable tanks were, but okay, continue.
Well, we'll see if you'll change your mind here.
I doubt
it. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I guess it's important to say we are talking about World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're specifically following the Allies' successful North Africa campaign. So this is after North... the Allies North Africa campaign in Morocco, countries like that. So Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of the UK at the time, was determined.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. That was awesome.
I don't know what made me think I needed to say it. Just reminded me of Zoolander. We need to stop
okay.
quoting your thing. Okay, sorry.
Well, Churchill was determined to attack what he described as Europe's soft underbelly. That soft underbelly was the Italian island of Sicily.
And how did he plan to do that?
So first, Churchill knew that in order to get to Sicily, there would need to be a deception campaign, as Hitler would see the invasion from miles away. So the Brits devised a plan.
A
British submarine. Yes. Well, it's just a deception mission.
Okay.
It's a deception operation.
Okay.
And this was their plan.
Okay.
A British submarine would surface off the coast of Spain near the port of Huelva, and it would carry a sealed canister containing the body of a deceased officer. There you go. There's that. I see the face now of disgust.
Okay.
Attached to his belt would be a briefcase containing a letter that, were it to fall in the wrong hands, would reveal the Allies' plans for an imminent invasion of the Balkans.
So, I just snorted again. So who was the officer?
All right, it wasn't a dead British officer at all.
So they dressed him up.
It was the man who never was.
Okay.
This was a homeless drifter called Glyndwr Michael, and the letter his corpse carried was an elaborate fake.
They just, okay. I'm trying to process this. It's not working so well. So continue, please.
Okay. So Operation Mincemeat was first floated as an idea back in 1939 by Ian Fleming.
Okay.
Our listeners should know who Ian Fleming is. We talk about him a lot in History's Mysteries.
Yeah.
He's the man that would later gain worldwide fame as the creator of James Bond. So Ian Fleming was asked to come up with a series of deception schemes at the start of the war, and one of his ideas was dropping a dead body loaded with fake documents behind enemy lines.
I mean, it's smart. Maybe not the most moral deception campaign, but nothing ever is, I guess.
Yeah, what is morality anyway? Is this a philosophy podcast now?
No, yeah, I guess we shouldn't go down that rabbit hole. But yeah. How did they get a deceased body? Please don't tell me they ended up killing the guy to use his body.
Okay, I won't tell you that.
Okay.
But as the story goes, his body was actually found slumped in a disused warehouse near King's Cross Station in London.
Been there.
Yep. Now, tests revealed he had consumed bread laced with rat poison. That was really common back then.
Gosh.
I know.
What was common back then?
Well, there were no regulations. It's London. Poor
rat
people.
Poison.
Yeah. Now, we don't know if that was...
Well, something else those people should be ashamed of if they did that on purpose. Shame on them. Okay.
And we don't know if it was intentional or maybe he got it out of the trash can and there was...
That
you
just
know,
still makes me... That still makes me so sad, though. Doesn't matter. He was friggin' hungry.
Two days after...
Mm-hmm.
After they found him, mm-hmm. he succumbed to internal injuries and he died at the age of 34.
This is depressing.
So after the UK government found out that Michael had no friends or family, they knew they had their
right.
man. So the body was dressed in a uniform of the Royal Marines, an officer of the Royal Marines.
At least they made him fancy.
Yeah. And he did good, so maybe his soul sees that. And feels like
I don't,
was an
his, I don't think it's his soul that's at issue here. I think it's the people who are like, hey, this man who has no family or friend, they're the ones who have to sleep at night.
Oh, those souls are screwed. Now, okay, what they did was they lined his pockets and wallet with like pocket litter.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go off on a little bit of a tangent here about what pocket litter is for, you know, intelligence, for spies, intelligence agents, and stuff like that. So pocket litter is things. So if you have a backstory on who you are, you have to have certain things on your body, on your person, if you're maybe detained or found, that proves that who you are, who you're trying to say that you are.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. They also had a briefcase containing that letter that we talked about, and they attached it to his belt.
Yeah.
And his body was placed in an airtight canister. It was loaded aboard the submarine, the HMS Saraf, and the boat set sail for Spain. Then on April 30th...
I think it's... babe.
What did I say?
Saraf.
Oh, okay. I think it's Seraph, too. I don't know why I did that. Could be
you
the
just,
wine.
You just wanted to flirt. You wanted to add a flourish to it. You want to make it super fancy.
Because it was coming up at Spain. And you know how.
Yes.
You know how that goes. But on April 30th of 1943, his body was dragged aboard a Spanish sardine fisherman's boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as it was in the hands of local Spanish authorities, Spain was actually a neutral country at the time.
Yeah.
So what should have happened was that the documents and personal effects of who they called Major Martin, that was his name.
Yeah.
They should have been returned to the British consulate immediately.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were not. And that's what the Brits wanted. So everything that was found on the body was examined by the Spanish and also by German intelligence. So were the Spanish really neutral? No.
No, they weren't.
They were not. Once everything had been copied by German intelligence.
But this stuff, didn't come out till many years later, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So they could still maintain their neutrality on paper. Yep. They could.
But in 2022, we know better.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, you know, I'm sure every country does covert things like that.
Yeah. Of course. You know. Yeah, you know personally.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about me or you. I was just saying, I'm sure every country tries to, you know, portray themselves one way while doing something else at some point.
Definitely. Yep. You know, the U.S. was caught spying on Germany and France recently in the last 10 years.
Yeah. I wish I could.
But as I said, so all of that was copied. And then after it was copied, you know, to kind of be on, you know, be deceptive themselves, they were, the documents were soaked in seawater and then returned to the British consulate.
Okay.
But here is where the British were actually very smart. They placed a single eyelash inside the envelope.
Okay.
And it was missing when it was returned. So that clued them in that it was taken. It was proof that the Spanish, at least, had read the letter.
That's really wild. That's a very elaborate plan. I never would have thought, I'm going to pluck out an eyelash to see if somebody reads my letter. That's crazy. But
now I'm going to start doing it.
So, oh, yeah, right. Did the Germans believe the letters were real, though?
They did. So the letter made its way to Berlin, where its contents were actually looked over by Hitler himself.
Oh, okay.
Now, thanks to that and other deception operations, Hitler had already begun to suspect an Allied attack on the Balkans. So that Operation Mincemeat kind of sealed the deal for Hitler. That's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
Now, the Allies began their attack on Sicily on the 19th of July. So that body was recovered the 30th of April. Now we're talking the 9th of July in 1943.
Yeah.
It was actually carried out with a vastly reduced operation. Hitler remained convinced, even as the attack was going on, that the main attack was still to come in the Balkans.
Ah.
He even sent one of his top generals to Salonika to oversee the defenses in the Balkans. So, of course, there was to be no attack on Greece, no attack on the Balkans.
Yeah.
And by the time the Axis had realized they'd been fooled, it's too late to do anything about it.
That's a fascinating story, and it wasn't as gross as I thought it would be, so shame on you for building that up so much. Actually, I'm glad I'm glad that it wasn't super gross. So I want to know, is there anything else for this week as we cross the hour mark? I would like to know. Yeah.
Well, we said in the beginning,
we had a lot to talk about, so.
We did. It's been a wild week, and obviously, it's all we have time for. It's more time than we've ever taken.
Well, I don't know. I think there were like two other episodes that we may have crossed the hour mark, but this is a rare occurrence. So, congratulations, world, on being such a crappy place.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. So, as always, if you like this show, please try to tell at least one person about us. We can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have a moment, head over to Apple or Spotify podcasts and give us a 5-star review, because those can help us get noticed by thousands of podcast listeners globally. And as always, if you would like in-depth coverage of these stories and more, you can head over to our Instagram account while we try to fix our website at Oakland Analytics. Yeah, at Oakland Analytics is our Instagram, and then OakwindAnalytics.com. We've thought really long and hard, and we're super creative with all of these names. OakwindAnalytics.com is our actual website.
And then we're going to do Stealing Diamonds from Africa. That'll be our next website. It'll just be stfinity.com.
Well, I think that's probably also trademarked now.
It might be. It might be taken. Yeah. I'll have to look it up. Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to say, Tiana, thank you, as always. Thank you so much for coming on here and listening to me drone on about all this stuff. And until next week, for everyone, Stay safe out there.